Church of Conscious Harmony, we are so blessed by your choice to be here. Your presence matters. Thank you. Just a couple of announcements. First of all, Peter is on retreat with some of our fellows, and so his role this morning will be taken by both me and Don Hale. We're very blessed that Don will be sharing some thoughts with us. Don, if any of you don't know Don, has been serving our youth for 24 years. And as an employee of the Church of Conscious Harmony for 18 years. And so I'm really looking forward to hearing what he has to say. Some other announcements. Our new community reading, which begins today, is Written on Our Hearts by Theodore J. Nottingham. And you can pick up a copy at the bookstore. United in Prayer Day is Saturday, March 17th, 2018, at the Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary. You must pre-register for this event, even if you plan to pay at the door. And the details are on the back of your insert. Peter would love to meet you and get to know everyone in the community, and so please feel free to make an appointment, a 30-minute appointment, by contacting the office. Our next Introduction to Centering Prayer course begins this Saturday, March 10th. Please see your insert for more information. And for other current and upcoming events, see your insert, and they can also be found on the bulletin board in the fellowship hall and by going to consciousharmony.org. And now, please join me in a moment of silence, where we can ask the Spirit to bless our worship together today. Amen.
Amen. Please join us in invoking the Holy Spirit with our song, Come and Pray in Us, Holy Spirit.
Come and pray in us, Holy Spirit. Come and pray in us. Come and
Please join us in singing the gospel in one word as love. Most loving and gracious God, Creator of the universe, Mother and Father of this and every moment, pour out your Spirit on our worship today, that we might know you, know your presence, open our minds, open our hearts, and feed us with your wisdom, your compassion, your understanding, your love, and transform us. We ask this in your holy and precious threefold name, Transcendent Father, Omnipresent Son, Immanent Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please join me in listening for God's word. Our reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 2. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the Scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all, and he did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Good morning. I believe I know most of you pretty well. For those of you I haven't met yet, my name is Don Hale, and one of the roles I play here is youth minister, youth director. I was here yesterday with a bunch of young people painting classrooms. We got paint on the wall, eventually. I've been trying to get it out of my beard all day. Not working. Also, if you listen real carefully, you can hear coming up from Theosis Chapel right now the beginning of the Tize service that the young people are leading. Can you hear? Come in, friends. You hear that? All is well. As Laurie said, I've been working with the young people since I came to the church, but I've been a youth director for about 17 years, I think it is. And I think this is my 17th complete service to sit in 17 years, because I come in and then I get to thinking something needs to be checked on. So I get up and go, and I don't hear them singing anymore. I'll be right back. Just loosening up a little bit. Also, we know that our minister, Peter, and our community is right now in the middle of their Eucharistic service at Belton, and so we can feel them as well as them, I'm sure, thinking and sending us their prayers and love. So this is the third Sunday of Lent, or halfway through, if you're counting. And the theme for today is holy purification. Yay. And this is the month during our community aim of evolving as Christ, and the theme is pilgrimage. So I thought that I would act as your personal guide through some of my experiences through purification and pilgrimage. So I'm just calling it the purifying pilgrimage today. A week from today, I will be with 80 eighth graders and chaperones in Assisi, Italy, for the 16th time. I think there's been some purifying going on in the past few years. Also this summer, 4 months from today, or this Wednesday, we'll be leaving, the youth of the church will be leaving for our 16th pilgrimage to Lama, New Mexico. And many of you have been with us on many of these pilgrimages, even the one we went on to Tize, France. And spending time in Tize, it completely changed my experience of the Tize service. And this is what happens when we go on these pilgrimages to holy places. So what is my takeaway pretty much from all these pilgrimages? Well, I would say that I am learning how to let go of how the journey is supposed to look and how it's supposed to end, the destination, what the destination is supposed to look like. Sound familiar? Letting go? Yeah. It certainly is the experience of my spiritual journey, maybe some of yours as well. So as a guide today, as I share some of my experiences, is my deep wish and hope that maybe you hear something that resonates with you as well. This Lenten reading of Edward Hayes, the Lenten Labyrinth, has got a wonderful description of pilgrimage. He says, go not knowing where, take not knowing what. The path is long, the way is unknown, and the hero does not know how to reach the end by himself or herself. You can't take anything along. No provisions? Well, the secret lies in eating the map. It is the journey itself that is the nourishment. Once you know, are amazed that what you're doing at this moment, traveling the complicated pathway which leads to God, is amazing. Suddenly, everything has meaning. One night during our evening devotion at Lama, so we get up every morning at 6, and we have a 6:30 devotion service where we set aim, and then we go and do seva all day. Well, maybe not all day. There's some playing. And then in the evening, we meet in the prayer room, and we share the experiences of our aim that day. So it's at 7,800 feet high and above sea level, and so with that much praying and that much intention and that much lack of sleep and that altitude, there's a lot of what we call unloading that takes place. And especially for adolescents, I would say. It's been my experience. It's much more closer to the surface. So one night, about 10 years ago, we were in the middle of a devotion, and one of our pilgrims was sharing and got really deep into her unloading. And she decided that she was done with the devotion, and she yelled at me and ran out of the prayer room. And some of the chaperones looked at me and said, we need to go. I said, no, just stay where you are. I think it'll be okay. And then one of the other young people said, how can you know she's going to be okay? How can you know this stuff? You come here and you act like you know what's going on. And I looked at her and I said, do you think for a second that I would get in a van with 20 teenagers and come up to this sacred space and pray with you all day long, knowing what's in store, if I thought I was in charge? I don't know. I'm winging it. Every time, all the time, like right now. That's it, right? That's what he just said. That's what we hear about pilgrimage. We just don't know the next step. I like one verse about, for me, it says, sums up a bit about the pilgrimage from John. This is from the Aramaic Bible. And Yeshua turned, and he saw them coming after him, and he said, he's a visionist. He turns and he says, what are you seeking? And they said, our master, where are you staying? And to me, that's the essence of pilgrimage. That's what I feel. Where is the place of my master? Where is it? I seek it with all my longing, and every day it gets deeper seeking. There's a poem by Rainer Maria Rilke. It says, my eyes already touch the sunny hill. Going far ahead of the road I have begun. So we are grasped by what we cannot grasp. It has inner light, even from a distance, and changes us, even if we do not reach it, into something else which, hardly sensing it, we already are. A gesture waves us on, answering our own wave. But we feel the wind in our faces. So a pilgrimage is a ritual journey with a hallowed purpose. Every step along the way has meaning. So after my first trip to Lhama, I really started to understand the meaning and the experience of a conscious community. You know, Tim always talks about his time at Lhama when he broke open and prayed with this soul-deepened wish for a community of seekers. And when I stood on the spot where that happened, I could feel that wish. And I've never been the same since. I'm still excavating the depths of that wish every day with all of you. And so that looked like, there was a time before I came to this church, hard to remember, but about 23 years ago today, my 8-year-old daughter came in to me while I was sitting on the couch watching baseball, probably. She said, "Dad, turn off the TV." Okay. She said, "Turn around and look at me." I turn around and she goes, "Now listen carefully. I want to start going to church. You have 2 weeks to find us a church, or I'll start going with my friends, and you'll have no say in my religious upbringing." And she said, "Repeat back to me what I just said to you. I have 2 weeks to find a church, or you'll have no say." She goes, "All right, you can go back to your game now." We all have our 8-year-old daughters calling us back to the path, don't we? Pure grace, I happened to be in a meeting with Steve Milan at the time. I said, "I've got to find a church. I'm like 2 days away." And he says, "Well, the church I go to is pretty cool. You know, you get to go. This guy comes, he reads, and then he lets the congregation stand up and talk." And I had been looking for a congregation like that my whole life. I was raised Presbyterian. And God's frozen people. I love my Presbyterian upbringing. I loved it. But I missed not being able to ask questions or engage with what was going on. So it was Easter Sunday over on Steck. We got there late, of course. And I opened that glass door and the air entered me. I'll never forget it. And that place that I'm seeking moved in me. I felt it. Thank you, Francis. Another part of my pilgrimage is really took an interesting turn when I was diagnosed with cancer 6 years ago and survived it. Be glad to know. And then a few months ago, I got diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And all this in community. By the way, anything that doesn't go well up here today, we blame it on Cousin Parky. This is what Deborah and I call our uninvited relative who comes and stays. You know, it's always cousins, right? The difference that I'm experiencing now in this part of my pilgrimage is that I felt completely confident all through my cancer treatment. But this time, our cousin likes to take over from time to time. And even though I really enjoy taking all the medication because it gives me a chance to self-remember all those times, there's times, like last Sunday when Deborah came home and I was sitting on the couch and she said, "What are you doing?" And I realized I'd been sitting there for about 2.5 hours and I didn't realize I was there. So my confidence is taking on a new depth, let's call it. I am community. Remembering ourselves through each other and through the work and prayer is how I am still sitting here today. When I came out of surgery to have my tumor removed, Deborah says, before you can talk, even though you're not going to remember what you say when you're still under anesthesia. A few weeks later, she told me that when I came out of surgery and I was on the gurney, I looked up and I grabbed her. And I looked and I said, angels flying everywhere. Prayer angels. The first thing I thought when I woke up in the room was thank God for this community. I felt every prayer. I felt every wish. I felt everyone. And I loved it. I didn't want to leave. I did. So gratitude is the first thing I think of almost every morning. Every morning I wake up. Gratitude for God and gratitude for praying in this community every morning and every evening. So I ask myself, what am I longing for? What are you longing for? Our lives are filled with moments of brilliance overlooked. Meaningful travel illuminates those moments. It's another way of looking at pilgrimage. One year, up above Assisi. Now, when I leave this Wednesday to go with the eighth graders, we'll fly into Venice, spend a couple of days there, and yeah, so some of you have been on this journey with us. Then we'll go to Florence, and then the heart of the trip is Assisi. And these are, I teach at St. Francis School, so our patron saint is Francis, St. Francis, and I have a real strong connection to Francis's story. And these young people, most of them, in my understanding anyway, don't really have a religious connection. But we go up above Assisi into the mountain at a place called the Hermitage. And it's where Francis went into a cave and spent a year while his molecular structure changed when he was answering God's call. And 100 years later, they built a monastery, just battened it onto the side of the mountain around that cave. And so it's still there, still a working monastery. And you go through this spiral, and as you go down, the doors get shorter and shorter, so you're literally having to bow and become more humble as you go. And then you come out at the bottom on this bridge on the side of a mountain, just looking on this forest. And that bridge that we cross, there's a tree there, and if you've ever seen the painting, Giotto's painting of Francis talking to the birds, that's the tree. So we stop there, and we get all 80 of us on that bridge. And I always ask them to just feel all the St. Francis students who's come before standing on that bridge, and all the students who'll be coming after you standing on that bridge. We're all here right now. And it's such silence. And you could feel the energy. It's almost equal to the energy that's going through me right now, sitting here. And then I say, and remember, when we walk across this bridge and go around this path, there's an outdoor tabernacle with an altar. Do not get into a snowball fight. Do not start chasing each other. Do not let this energy leave you. We don't have in our culture a teaching about how to maintain that energy inside, right? We're constantly getting it out, shooting it out. It's just too uncomfortable. But we've had over the years, you know, by the way, this didn't just happen because I got a great idea. This happened out of experience when they caused a lava avalanche. We almost had to get life flight up there one time. So I said, and I tell them that. You don't want to get emergency personnel up here, okay? So don't let the energy out. So they walk around, and they walk down this path, and they're silent, and then they start cracking open. Sometimes they cry. Sometimes they just sit there, and their faces start glowing, and they get up into the rocks above the altar. Sit there in lotus. And one year, this young man came up to me, and he was me when I was his age. Never shut up. Always saying something funny, ruining the moment. And he'd been quiet. And he'd been off by himself. And he came up to me. And I said, here we go. And he looked at me and he said, he looked down and he picked up a rock. He looked at it and he tossed it off the side of the mountain and it rolled all the way down out of sight. And then he looked at me with tears in his eyes and he said, I just changed the world. And I knew that this was his longing in his heart. And we embraced. We've carried the ashes of two of our pilgrims and spread them up there over the years. We go to Lama, and there's a young man who was one of our pilgrims, and his grave is part of our pilgrimage when we go up there. And we stand around or sit around his tombstone and talk about death and life and how much we need to pay close attention to our loved ones and not take them for granted. And it's just extraordinary, these moments that are illuminated that we could just take for granted. So today's gospel reading from John about Jesus driving the money changers and the dove and cattle sellers out of the temple touches on purification. It's about purification. And ever since I've heard that reading of decades, the thing, and maybe for the same for you, but the idea of Jesus with a whip. Wow. And then pondering this, reading this week, this idea that he wound this whip together out of cords. He made it. He didn't just go buy one or, hey, give me that whip, you know. He bound it together out of cords. And I'm thinking, what are these cords? And if you'll indulge me just for a second, I jotted down a couple of words. It turned into a poem. And it's kind of an unfortunate title. I'll probably change it. But it's called Whip 'Em Out. I'll change it. Yeah. I wasn't going to say that. I know I went. It's here, but. Christ takes pieces of what? Love, truth, zeal, wound tight together through divine heat, a driving whip, overturning lies in a stinging action that cleanses my rebuilt heart. In 3 days of wish. So we've all had lots of jobs, probably. I think I've had over 100. And along the time that we get these jobs and have these lives, we have many shocks, right? Many changes in our life. I've been through 2 divorces. Cancer, Parkinson's, among others. I'm in the middle of a career change as we speak, literally like this past week. It's turning out that I'm probably going to leave the classroom after almost 30 years, start something new. But then, you know, something happens that really knocks you off. And so this new experience with Cousin Parky really gives me a chance to really, really understand how to transform that impression through the purifying process of humiliation. And people ask me all the time, how you doing? And I am not making this up. I'm not lying. I say a miracle a minute because of the opportunity to constantly remember God. So I'm sitting here in gratitude of the purifying truth. I'm not what I thought I was. My buffers are weakening. I'm able to start actually claiming the reality of who I am through this purifying process. So I thought of a couple, three sayings from the work, Esoteric Christianity, that kind of go along with purification. Bear the unpleasant manifestations of others. Did I mention I've been married twice, three times, divorced twice? But I'm still married. So I think we're starting to learn how to do that a little bit. External consider always, internally consider never. Working with teenagers. I mean, their personalities are still forming. It's still close to the surface. And so they have this radar that's razor sharp. They can catch you right away, you know. They may not know what to do with it when they catch you, but like the dog that catches the car a little bit sometimes. But it sure keeps somebody who wants to continue working with young people as honest as possible. Because we're trying to see things through their eyes. How are they seeing me? Or what I'm saying? Or trying to say? And then transform incoming impressions, the first conscious shock. So when I started going to treatment for my cancer, I went to radiation. And like I said, I had an aim. I was all set for this experience, this part of my pilgrimage. And so I'm heading into the hospital to have my first treatment. And I'm praying with each step as I'm getting in. And as the doors open to go in, all of a sudden, I get this vision that I'm entering a monastery of healing. And everyone in there are doctors and technicians and support staff, monks of healing. And you can imagine, I'm looking around, everything's changed. And so as I walked in the room and I met the technician for the first time, I was able to see myself through his eyes. And it was so moving because I saw him see this healthy looking, energetic, smiling man come in, and he knew what I was going to look like in 6 weeks. And I was probably the 100th that day, who knows? But he smiled, shook my hand, got me comfortable, and I was every day in a dance with these monks in the hospital. So one of the things, of course, about purification is it's not easy. It's not necessarily comfortable. And so John of the Cross says, the soul desirous of reaching this state of union with God is greatly impeded when it clings to any understanding, feeling, imagination, appearance, will, or manner of its own, or to any other act, or to anything of its own, and is unable to detach and strip itself of all of these. So these are big ideas. So we get negative when we get up to go to work. I get negative and think about what has to be done today. I get negative when I forget what I'm doing and blame it on because I'm parking. Career changes. I get negative when I hear views that don't agree with mine. One of the things I like to do is listen to the radio, to talk radio. Purifying. I like to listen to it, and then when I can't stand it any longer, I listen one more minute. And 2 summers ago, before the election, I was pulling into my garage with that minute going. And I was just humming. And it happened. I heard all the people who were listening to that radio station loving it the way I love to hear what I like to hear. And we were the same. We were the same people. They just liked something else I don't particularly enjoy. And it changed everything. I was able to not have any problems with what people believe or think after that. No, I shouldn't say that. That's not true. Not that I don't have any problems. But I try not to show them, but. And finally, I've gotten negative listening to the views of my wives, my children, when they need to tell me something, especially when they're not happy with the way I've been raising them. One time, I was in class, and both my daughters came in and wanted to talk to me now. I said, I have to finish class. So after class was done, we closed the door, and they came in my room. And they told me about their pain and disappointment with the way I had been acting and what I had done. They were upset because of the way I told them about the breakup of my marriage to their mother. And they'd finally figured out and what had happened. I had broken my marriage vows, and I wasn't able to tell them. I didn't think I could. But when they confronted me, I got the full grace of the purifying spirit to sit there and say nothing and to hear them and to feel their pain, our pain, and say, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. And so we took a new step on that part of our pilgrimage together. Well, I think I'm out of time. But purification pilgrimage is a journey of letting go of the idea of what the destination is going to look like. Or what the end of this talk is going to look like. I love you. Thank you. Let's all stand and give our hearts to song.
Jesus said, what are you looking for? The kingdom of God is within you and around you. This is my body. This is my blood. Jesus said, what are you looking for? The kingdom of God is within you and around you. This is my body. This is my blood. Jesus said, what are you looking for? The kingdom of God is within you and around you.
It's time for our offertory.
And now is the time when we, in gratitude for all the many blessings in our lives, take our tithes and offerings in our hands. And we remember that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's know this together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. Amen. Awake now to God's extraordinary love for us. We dedicate our tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in our lives and on this planet over the lie that we are separate and are useless, acting out from fear. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Make me a channel of your peace. There is hatred, let me bring your love. There is injury, your pardon, Lord. Where there's doubt, true faith in you. A channel of your peace. There's despair in life, let me bring home. There is darkness, only light. Blessed ever joy. O Master, grant that I may never see so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, giving to all hearts that we receive, dying that we're born to eternal life. O Master, grant that I may never cease so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. Make me a channel of your peace. Make me a channel of your peace.
Let us now rest in silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The Eucharist, to me, has become part of that purification pilgrimage that Don was talking about. It's the mysterious map that we eat that leads us ever deeper toward what we already are. Abba, We thank you that you know, we know you hear us now. And we know that you always hear us. It is you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, you who are giving us faith to pray in that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And having said the blessing, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Song Abba. Abba, Father, you are the potter.
Modas, modas and fashionas into the image of Jesus your Son, of Jesus your Son. Father, may we be one in you, may we be one in you, as he is in you, and you are in him. Abba, may we be one. is in you, and you are in him. Abba, Abba Father, you are the potter, we are the clay, the work of your hands. Mold us, mold us and fashion us into the image of Jesus your Son, of Jesus your Son. Father,
mold
Jesus, your Son. Of Jesus, your Son. Abba.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize that you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. And now let's stand and join together to pray Amazing Grace.
Thank you for making us ever more conscious that you are leading us on this purifying pilgrimage in community, and help us to let go of our idea of what the destination will look like. Amen.
Amen.